You are listening to Working Out, Working In, Melding Exercise and Mindfulness, brought to you by Forge Fitness and Wellness. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 2 of Working Out, Working In. Today, I'm asking why it is that exercise can be so therapeutic. What about it helps us alleviate stress and find calm? Now, in the previous episode, I was discussing the deep interconnectedness of mind and body, and how our mental state can really respond to our physical state and vice versa because of this interconnection. And so I'm wanting to expand upon this idea and explore why exercise or simple human movement can have such a profound effect on our mental status, as has been observed in a lot of recent mental health research. If you haven't checked out the previous episode, I would recommend taking the 20 minutes to do so. It'll probably establish some helpful context for you as to what I'm talking about here. Otherwise, let's go ahead and dive right in. So what about human movement really makes it so therapeutic? Or what gives it that potential to be so? And while I was researching this idea, trying to come to a conclusion, I did encounter a lot of similarities in some of the research and just some of the philosophy in the area. And it seems to be it's because that movement can be very deeply tied to our experience and our expression of emotions. And we can observe this down to the simple level of people's body language. And we can all think of how someone's body, how their physical presentation can really change just depending on their mood. You can typically tell when somebody walks in the room and they're very angry or they're very happy, solely by the way they present themselves on a physical level. And it seems that every major emotion we have has an experience, a physical sensation that we experience alongside it, as well as an impulsive response that we want to act out in relation to our emotions. And so one thing that I encountered that was very interesting to me was a psychiatric study in 1951. And this whole study was all about just trying to better understand this relationship between emotion and physical expression. And they tried to do this by polling a large number of people about different emotions they experienced, ranging from joy, anger, sadness, and then asking them to explain what they felt in their body, as well as what their reaction was or what they wanted to physically do because of what they were feeling. And so they attempted to kind of categorize and find commonalities in the descriptions of what people experienced in relation to those emotions. So, for example, deep joy was oftentimes associated with this relaxed, light feeling that kind of spreads through the entire body. And there was this impulsive desire to act this out by laughing or jumping or skipping or running around. You see this almost childlike quality associated with joy. Now, on the other hand, when people were asked about anger, a lot of responses described this physical sensation of this hot, boiling feeling in the chest or the gut. And there was this reactive physical desire to act this out by yelling or throwing or hitting or smashing something. And violent outbursts are obviously not acceptable in a lot of civilized culture, and so people instead reported that they expressed it, or rather that they repressed their anger by physical actions such as clenching their fists or their jaws or furrowing their brow, crossing their arms, and watching what they say. And you know, another sensation was associated with this tightness or constriction in their throat, and that's kind of as a result of them kind of having to watch their language, having to not speak out what they were thinking in fear of consequences of it. So I want to note how we oftentimes pair emotion and motion in our language together. We oftentimes will describe jumping for joy when we feel extreme happiness, or we'll say, I had to swallow my words to describe that awful teeth-gritting constriction that we feel in our throat from the anger or embarrassment of having to retract something that we've said. And every emotion seems to have some kind of parallel expression that's physical in nature, and there's also an impulsive movement that we try to act it out. So oftentimes we think of becoming paralyzed with fear, we shake with anxiety, we're going to stand tall with pride, or we withdraw in shame. Fear and anxiety gives us this instinctual reaction of wanting to run away from the source, whereas pride tends to puff us up and impart a desire for us to strut around and show off our successes. On the other hand, embarrassment oftentimes makes us wish we could just fold up inside of ourselves and shrink away without anybody noticing. Now, this is interesting in cases of mental diseases as well, in which people with depression oftentimes report that their bodies feel incredibly heavy, and there's this sinking feeling that requires great effort and motivation to overcome and move. And it physically manifests as fatigue and exhaustion that makes it incredibly difficult just to get out of bed in the morning. And so you can see, on the other hand, that other people with depression might cope in the opposite way and instead outwardly express this hyperactive or false sense of happiness by constantly telling jokes and being cheerful. You know, that somebody has a big smile that never reaches their eyes, and a lot of times it's an attempt to try and cover up that true deep feeling of sorrow and exhaustion that's felt inside. And so reading these things, you know, it seems that we either relate to or express our emotions through the movement of our body, or we repress what we really feel by restricting our movement or by performing a false action in place of what we truly want to do. So we can either act out our feelings physically, or we can lock them inside and put on a mask through false action. So like that people in the 1951 study described clenching their fists or jaws as an alternative to expressing their anger in a violent way or by shouting or yelling at somebody, this is kind of what we see. We either restrict our bodily motion rather than express our emotion physically. And you know, I say in that case, it's probably a healthy application to exert control over our emotion in terms of not being violent with our anger by limiting that response with something as simple as clenching our jaw or our fist. Obviously, in society, we can't stand to be acting out base emotional impulses whenever they occur, because that's what separates us from an animal. However, we do need to learn to exert both control over our impulses, but also remain true to the feelings that we are experiencing within us. And I think that when we get to situations where our natural response is overridden to the point that we can't even physically express it normally anymore, it can really become damaging to our health mentally and physically. So for example, many of us are subjected to chronic stress and anxiety in life, and we just can't run away from our responsibilities like sometimes our impulses might want us to do so. The simple physical solution to be chronically stressed at your job or in your school would just to be run away from it. But we obviously can't do that. And so what's the result of just constantly locking down that nervousness that we feel inside over the long time? And I think that we see that people walk and sit through their lives locked in a physical tension because we're keeping our emotions under lock and key, and we become a prisoner inside of our own body. We see the clenched jaws, the chronically raised shoulders, the sucked in gut, tight, painful backs and stiff legs, and our inability to escape from our stressors leads to coping mechanisms by which we tighten up our muscular system. And undue body tension is the source of a lot of pain and discomfort for people. A lot of chronic pain stems from musculoskeletal tension. And I think a lot of this is really stemming deep down from the stress and anxiety that we can't deal with in a healthy manner. Our mental tension becomes manifested outwardly in our body, in our muscular system, in the form of muscular tension. And interestingly enough, this is actually a premise of a unique field of body psychology that was called bioenergetics. And the founder of bioenergetic philosophy, Dr. Alexander Lowen, referred to this as muscle armoring. And he postulated that people can develop unhealthy tension in their bodies as a result of failing to physically act out their emotions in a healthy manner. Body tension can act as a guarding mechanism to our emotional impulses. It's a protective response, an armor per se, against unknown or feared consequences. So perhaps you've heard of the term cognitive dissonance, which is just a really kind of fancy science term to describe that discouraging or friction feeling that we have in our head when we're doing something that doesn't really align with what we believe deep down. And Dr. Lowen essentially hypothesized that when people repress their natural emotional impulses and their beliefs by not physically acting on them or acting in opposition to them with a fake act, that this dissonance can be manifested outwardly in people's posture and muscle tension as a result of holding everything in. And so let's think of this in terms of a scenario where, you know, we're imagining that you're at work and you're speaking with your coworkers, and all of a sudden your boss approaches you. and he proceeds to call you out in front of your peers, reprimand you for a mistake, and disrespect you, and this mistake wasn't even your fault. And so you're likely feeling two things in this instance. Number one, you're probably feeling embarrassed at being called out in front of your coworkers. And number two, you're probably very angry for being unjustly accused of a mistake that wasn't your fault and being disrespected publicly for it. And you're presented with two options for your response. You can, one, either confirm your feelings of anger and indignance by puffing out your chest, standing tall, and confronting your boss about being rude, about being a jerk, and have no fear of the consequences. Or, like many people do, you can simply repress your feelings of anger and indignance, nod your head, offer a half-hearted apology through gritted teeth out of the fear that you might lose your job. And consider the body language differences between those two examples. One is tall, expressive, and defiant versus being withdrawn, repressed, and submissive. And it makes sense now why we talk about defiant, strong-willed people having a backbone versus people that tend to roll over as being spineless. You know, it's the difference between sticking your jaw out in defiance or tucking your hypothetical tail between your legs. Now imagine that over a lifetime of constantly repressing your emotion by locking your body into a withdrawn state of fear of your own impulses, or rather the consequences of your impulses. This is the result of chronically not fighting for what you believe in because you're afraid that you might lose your job as a result. And it makes sense that this can become a very negative effect and build into a negative effect on your happiness and health over years and years of constant application. Now, from this frame of reference, it begins to make more sense why it is that exercise and movement can have such a therapeutic and relaxing effect on us. And I think that it's probably because it's a way that we counteract our coping strategy of locking down and restricting our movement as a strategy to repress our emotional response to chronic stressors. Exercise is essentially an act of defiance to our physical repression of emotions. It's intentional movement following a long day of locking ourselves down, and it makes sense why that's therapeutic to us. In fact, I know from personal application that exercise has often been a coping strategy for me in the past. You know, when I found myself incredibly stressed from academics or from work, what I do is I'll kind of even literally say, oh, I'm just running to clear my head. And I found that running to clear my head has often been a much better strategy than sitting down and eating my feelings. And on the other hand, I found that a lot of times taking out anger or frustration in the gym by hitting the heavy bag or by pulling a heavy deadlift is a lot more physically satisfying than if I were to sit down and stew over what I wish I had said to somebody who had irritated or wronged me earlier in the day. You know, I think it's because there is a way that we can release that emotional tension through a physical act of expression in the form of exercise. This is also a consideration that exercise is a physical act of self-care. You know, running, lifting weights, participating in athletics with your friends can be a confirmatory action for your emotional desire to take care of yourself and be healthy. So part of health involves healthy expression of emotion. And I found that exercising can often give me a clear window into my thoughts and feelings. And this is particularly true when the exercise has a meditative quality, like Tai Chi, or even just running in the woods without a bunch of music playing. I found that moving my body can essentially mute all the noise, all the cognitive dissonance that's going in my head, and then I can more clearly hear and interpret my thoughts and true emotions. And it's interesting that by getting out of my head and into my body, that I can better understand what's going on in my head. You know, perhaps that's why you oftentimes hear the saying that you can't see the solution when you're so close to the problem, or that you're too close to the issue to really see how to fix it. And so, you know, by stepping into this physical appreciation, by being present through the window of our body, we can really delve into our inner thoughts more effectively. So this is what I mean by working out to work in. It's the application of mindfulness to exercise. You know, exercise can evolve beyond just getting in shape into a mode by which we can examine and learn about ourselves. So my personal theory as to why this is Essentially, it's that our emotions can be expressed impulsively through reactive motion. That's in the example of being angry and yelling out and shouting at somebody as a result. That's the reactive impulse to our anger. So it makes sense also that by being intentional about our movement, by controlling it for a purpose rather than just acting on impulse, that we can essentially have a balancing act to the reactivity of our emotions. So if yelling out in anger is our reactive impulse that expresses our anger, then also going to the gym and taking out some of that frustration in the form of weightlifting or hitting a punching bag can be not the reactive, but the thoughtful, considerate form of expressing anger. It's a way to examine our emotions in a way that is methodical and clear and very intentional. It's the mirror image to that moment of impulsiveness. Exercise is the moment of consideration and intention that balances the impulse. And it's in this sense that I think movement can really become therapeutic to people, and not just in the physical sense of therapy that my physical therapy studies are talking about. And so that's essentially my takeaway, is that movement becomes truly therapeutic when we can get out of our head and into our bodies. And from this distance, we can mute some of that cognitive dissonance that we experience in our day-to-day lives and begin to examine our problems with greater clarity, away from all the noise that's created by life's stress. And perhaps by making a concerted effort to frequently examine our lives with this clarity through daily application of exercise and self-care, that maybe we can better identify the heart of these problems. And so I think the goal really needs to be that we can identify and address the areas in our life where we are repressing our emotions or where our actions aren't confirming what we feel and what we believe. And from there, we can seek a more genuine and healthy existence in which our daily movements confirm our beliefs, in which we can reconnect, put motion back into the emotions that we experience, and live much more honestly by doing so. So I think that's a very interesting concept. It's largely just philosophy, but I would be very interested to see what other people think about this idea. So as always, I would love to encourage you guys to always offer feedback, comment, share anything on your ideas on this podcast. I'll see you in 2 weeks, guys, for episode 3. Working Out, Working In is brought to you by Forge Fitness and Wellness. For more information and content, check out my website at www.forge-fnw.com.